don't have to. Just okay. Please take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, Reverend Scott, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You may be seated. As we studied in the Beatitudes, we studied the first four parts of the Beatitudes, and we're coming to the second four part. And the first four parts talk about how you achieve the righteousness of God. And the second four verses talk about what are the effects of having received the righteousness of God. How are you saved, and what are the effects of being saved? We looked earlier at verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit is realizing that we have nothing good within ourselves. We are spiritual beggars in poverty before God. As Romans 3 tells us, there is no one righteous, not even one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If we want to have the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God, then we have to understand that God is God and we are not. Too often we get that confused. On our money and government buildings, we often have one nation under God. But we're quickly turning into a country that is one nation that wants to be over God, saying we know better than what God says of what's right and what's wrong. And we are going to make it known that people trying to follow what God says are going to understand that we're more powerful than God. So it's people that don't really understand the truth. But we need, if we are going to be saved, if we're going to have a relationship with God, have eternity in heaven, we need to understand that we are poor in our spirit. There is nothing good within us. And then when we understand there's nothing good within us, we will mourn over our sin, what it has done to us in our relationship with God, and how it affects God as we sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The ones that understand that God is in charge and we are spiritual beggars, they are the ones that have the kingdom of heaven. Those that mourn for their sin will be comforted by God. Verse 5, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Understanding that we are spiritual beggars, mourning for our sin, we're not going to try to exert our control over anything, saying, I am the one that needs to get the credit. No, we need to give the credit to God and God alone. And then if we understand that we're poor in spirit, we're mourning over our sin, we're realizing there's nothing we can do on our own, we hunger and thirst for the only solution. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. So the person that's a Christian that has been hungering and thirsting and for righteousness because he's mourning for his sin, he's meek in his attitude because he understands he's poor in spirit, he will be merciful because he's been shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The noun here that we translate merciful is only found in the New Testament twice. Here and in Hebrews 2:17. Let's turn there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Now, the verb form is found in other places, but here's the only other place the same form of that word is used in Matthew 5:7. and Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. And as we look at merciful, we understand it relates to what Jesus has done. He is the one that showed us what mercy is. Now, mercy would have been, when Jesus said this, would have been a jaw-dropping statement to the Jewish people, the Romans that heard it, because they heard, like many of us today, you've got to stand up for yourself. And the merciful, the ones that showed mercy, were generally the ones that got oppressed by others. The religious leaders in Matthew 23, Jesus refers to as whitewashed tombs. They tried to have a form of pleasing God without mercy. Jesus said that you have tried to follow all the laws and you have put a burden on other people and you're not even willing to lift a finger to help anyone else. The Gospel of John in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, John the Baptizer is referring to, or actually Matthew 3, John the Baptizer is referring to the Pharisees and the scribes that came to the Jordan River to be baptized by him and called them a brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? They were the most religious people. If you could earn your salvation by being righteous by your actions, the Pharisees would have done it. But Jesus was telling them, and John the Baptizer, who prepared the way for Jesus, was telling them, you have the wrong attitude. Your attitude without mercy is showing you are not going to receive the mercy of God. Because if we understand we're spiritual beggars, all we can do is beg for the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is tied with salvation. If we look at, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. Too far. Titus 3, 5. It's not in Timothy. There we go. Looking at 7 Timothy, going, that doesn't look right. Titus 3:5. He saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We are saved because of the mercy of God. Also, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespass, yet are saved by grace. Now there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. And grace is receiving what we do not deserve. Mercy brings us forgiveness for our sins. We don't deserve that. But there's also mercy that relates to justice. Jesus went to the cross because of his loving mercy for us, knowing that without the payment of our sin debt made, we had no hope of being forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, Scripture tells us, there is no forgiveness. Look with me at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Going to somebody's favorite book. And beginning in verse 10. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you are a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Here he's telling us, without seeing mercy in your own life, you're showing that you haven't received mercy. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells about three men, actually four men, five if you deal with an innkeeper. You have a priest who happens to come upon the scene where a man has been beat up along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. But he's got church service coming up, so he walks by on the other side of the road. Then the Levite comes, I mean, like one of the deacons. He's one that serves in the temple. He's still got things to do at church, so he passes by on the other side of the road. And then along comes a Samaritan. Now, you have to remember, Samaritans were viewed by the Jews as terrible people. The good Jew didn't even want to get the dust from Samaria on them. They would go way out of their way to avoid coming near Samaria or Samaritan. So the despised man from Samaria saw the man who had been beaten up, tended to his wounds. That was mercy. He needed his wounds tended to. The Samaritan did that. But then he took him to the inn and paid for him to have a place to recover. That was grace. Mercy tended to his wounds. Grace went beyond and gave him a new place. Instead of having his wounds tended and still being on the side of the road, he was in a no location. Mercy and grace were seen by the actions of the Samaritan. Jesus showed us the example of mercy by going to the cross for us. And if we are Christians, it's going to be seen in our lives. Turn with me to Matthew 25. It happens. Mercy happens in the life of a Christian because he's a changed person. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 41. Then they will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Then he will answer them, I tell you, whatsoever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There are some that think they can earn their salvation, but they have no concern for their fellow man. We cannot earn our salvation by doing merciful things. But if we're saved, we will show mercy from our life because we have been granted mercy by God. We will look to the needs of others to meet them, not to earn our salvation, but because it's what our Heavenly Father does and we're following His example. We won't look to avenge ourselves on others. Remember, God says, vengeance is mine. It's not ours. It's for God to settle what we think is an unfair situation. We need to understand that if we are a Christian, mercy will be seen through our lives. Now, does that mean that everybody will be drawn to our mercy and just pat us on the back? No. The world often steps on the neck of those that show mercy to others. Look at how they treated Jesus. He is the greatest example of mercy. They spit on Him and they nailed Him to a tree as they were hurling insults at Him. Should we expect any better treatment when we're following the example of God? But we need to remember, our reward is not here on this planet. Our reward's in heaven. That's where we will spend our eternity if we are a Christian. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank You for what You've done for us. I pray that You will continue to teach us to live a life as a merciful servant. In Jesus' name.